Blog Talk Radio.
You're the guy who insists on being old school. I think that a lot of women sort of deep down appreciate that. I mean, even feminists will say that they want a strong masculine dude. They want to have, they would even say, I've read so many articles written by feminists who say, I would never get together with a male feminist ever again. And it's like, you have to understand that that's the reason for that is because there's something, some subroutine that's running in their hindbrain where it says, you need to be with the guy who has competency, that can handle his shit. And that's exactly what Hunter was just saying a minute ago, is that even though you think that you live in an egalitarian marriage, even though you think you play, even Steven with your wife, I will guarantee you that when you are in an emergency situation, when the chips are down, when you are in a survival situation, she will look to you as any other woman would look to a man in the history of the planet fucking Earth. Okay. I don't care how feminist that woman is, she will look to you and say, save me, please save me, save my babies, women and children first, right? Suddenly she will revert to her base evolved nature, and all that pretense, all that feminist bullshit will just fade away. Okay. And that's a feminist. Now, if your wife is the one that controls is the one that's in authority in your marriage, she still looks to you for competency, and every time you fail, that's another freaking nail in your coffin for that relationship. We have some more people on.
Yeah, we got a couple of super chats there. So Jaunty said, "How should we deal with Vichy males in the workplace? I guess when it relates to fatherhood." Does anybody want to hit that?
Anybody want to hit that?
Oh, wait, I'm sorry, what was the question?
Vichy male, like they're traitors, they're like gender traitors. I'm the one that coined that term too. I feel bad, because every time somebody uses that, I have to explain it. Vichy males are like the Vichy French, okay? They were the traitors in France who allied themselves with the Nazis.
Got it.
And that's why they called them Vichy French were the ones that collaborated with the Nazis, because they thought that the Nazis were gonna win. So I kind of lifted the term Vichy out of there. So I call like male feminists or Vichy males.
I'll jump on that a quick answer.
So you understand the analogy though, right?
Yes, no, okay. Completely. Dude, it's like spitballs on a battleship, man. I mean, these guys are gonna come in, they're gonna say, oh, I don't like what you're doing. Who cares? Disregard them. The thing I do on Twitter, block. You're going to real life, they're going to start talking smack because you don't have to prove anything to any guy you work with. Go there, do your job, leave. You guys don't have to be buddies. They don't have to like the way you do things. You keep doing your thing. It's all about frame. That's your reality. They don't get to change it at all.
Never refer to them as men.
males.
Yeah, either refer to them as males or refer to them as allies. Allies like you, because that's the way that feminism refers to men. They don't see men. They don't see males. They don't see humans with penises. They see allies.
And they refer to them as allies.
Refer to them as future defendants.
Yeah. We got another super chat from Mike. $10. Thanks for that, brother. He says, how does a father keep sex life alive with his wife who is pregnant and we already have a one-year-old? Sorry, but the call's not going through. I don't think it was your fault. It was probably my setup, but who wants to hit that one?
Oh, I love to hit that. You know, I'm all about sex. So, shoot. I love that. The thing that's really important is that we'll always remember, for a woman, sex is between her ears and not between her legs. So the thing that's important to do is just making her feel sexy, sending her messages like in the morning you send her just because, or if you've ever had sex with your girl and you've named the coochie between her legs, You send her to flirt with her. Hey, how you doing? How's Janice or whatever you name her? How's my girl doing today? Don't sit on her. Do you have her shaved? I can't wait to kiss her. I can't wait to touch her and things like that. It's the little things that you do. It's always the little things you do. Don't try to force sex on her. Just make her feel sexy, because as a pregnant woman, she's going to want to feel special. You know, she feels fat. She feels disgusted. She doesn't feel sexy like she used to. So what you want to do is hold her, rub her feet, talk to her, send her sexy messages and like that, and that is going to get you where you need to go, man.
We got another super chat from DJH. It says, what are your guys' thoughts on the Bezos divorce? I've tweeted a lot about that the last 2 days. I'll say something about it in a minute, but I want to pass it off to somebody else.
I just did a full Twitter thread on it, so you can look at my Twitter thread and see what I thought of it. But I will tell you this right now is and this is just going to be me. This is my take on it, okay? And this has nothing to do with Jeff Bezos or his relationship or anything like that. It's like, oh, well, how could he stay together? Honestly, who cares? But I think that why you're seeing all of these articles right now that are coming out and they're saying, well, Mackenzie Bezos, she deserves that $160 billion with a B. She deserves that, right? Because she was the one who wrote the business plan for Amazon back in the day.
Yeah,
or I'm like, and then, but here's the thing, she owns no stock. So you're going to tell me that she's that instrumental in Amazon and she owns no Amazon stock? She was that instrumental in Amazon and she has no stock? Bullshit. So yeah. I was going to say that's the first part, but what they're trying to do, and then of course the news comes out that he's got a mistress, and this his mistress looks like somebody like whacked her upside the head, you know? like Marty Feldman, you know, like. and she's got big giant boobies. Right? I'm just like, what the hell's wrong with this guy? Because
He traded a model with 300,000 miles on it for a model with 301,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
Like, he's bringing a newer model, right?
Like, I was like, I could not believe. And so, but see, what they're doing, and there are so many articles right now that are of course, are all defending McKinsey. Oh, I can't believe he's such an asshole. How could he do this to you? Typical male. Oh, you know? And that's all they're doing. And the reason that they're doing that is because they're trying to cover up the 800-pound gorilla in the room, which is that a man and a woman are going to divorce, and that woman is about to become the richest woman on planet Earth because of a divorce.
Yeah,
she's about to get 100.
Who was it earlier today on a Twitter roll? I think it was AJ that said he looked at the list of the world's richest women on Fortune, and I think he said something like all of them, with the exception of three, acquired their wealth through either divorce or becoming a widow.
Yeah, I think of the top 46 of them were self-made, and the other 34 were
Came into that wealth because there was already a pre-existing company, or they came into it by way of divorce or by becoming a widow. It wasn't any; they were never self-made. And that's so. What I was going to say is that the reason that all of these writers in what I call the femstream media, the reason that they're writing all of these right now is it's Squid Ink. Okay, they're trying to distract the greater populace from the real story, and the real story is that a woman is about to become the richest woman in the world as a result of a divorce in the state of Washington to the tune of $160 billion. And what that does is it shines a very bad light, not just on the divorce industry, but just on women themselves. So when you look at the feminine imperative, we're about to ridiculously reward a woman for simply sleeping with a guy and being the dude's wife for X amount of years, and she is entitled to half of his assets, which account for $160 billion for no other reason. It's like it was the biggest take, I think, in feminist history.
Oh, so
that's what they're trying to they're trying to distract from that. Wow. They're trying to just
go over here.
We got some callers, so let's do that. Let's see if it's working.
Okay, yeah, guys, we have a call, so just call, ask your question, and we'll put you back in. Area code 204. Can you hear me, sir? 204?
Yeah, right here. Yeah, right here.
Okay, sir, go ahead. What's your question, sir?
Well, after that lead-in with the divorce rate there, I'm just wondering, I'm 37, I'm thinking about, you know, getting into a long-term relationship, maybe with, like, kids at some point in my life. In the last year, all the information I've heard from you guys about how dangerous it is, any advice or any thoughts on, you know, things I should or shouldn't do in concern with, long-term relationship or marriage and kids.
Okay, thank you. All right, guys, All right. Thank you, 204. Guys?
I'll drop one point. I mean, there's a long list, and we've covered it pretty extensively multiple times, but the main point is vetting. You know, if you're looking to start a life and create life with a woman, you need to make sure you put in the time to make sure she's the right woman. You know, everything's a risk, everything's a gamble, but, I mean, you can improve your odds by not hooking up with a stewardess and instead picking somebody who's got a stable life.
I mean, look at the DNA involved. I mean, look at her family, look at her mom, look at her dad. You know, I mean, that's pretty straightforward vetting right there. I mean, because if you're going to make the kid, half your DNA and half of hers, choose wisely.
Give yourself permission.
Yeah, like we've heard a lot of stuff. We've got comments going on in the chat about prenups, and I know that Rollo opposes me on the notion of prenup. So maybe let's hit on that for a sec. But prenup that you got to understand is it's useful, but it does not cover child support or custody arrangements. You cannot contract outside of family law in any way, shape, or form when it comes to the kids. The court will always do what's in the best interest of the kids as they see fit at that time. And unfortunately, in many cases, if you have the male parts and she has the girly parts, she's probably going to win if it goes to court. So you can't deal with that part. The part that the prenup does cover and can cover if you execute it properly, I had one. I know a lot of men that have had them and they were useful, is you get a prenup and you get a postnup. The prenup you deal with before the marriage, you make sure you set the intention clear that this shit is mine and that stuff is yours. And if it doesn't work out, you take your stuff and go, and I'm going to keep my stuff. You further solidify the prenup by getting a postnup after the marriage. So after you've done everything, she can't come back later on and say, I didn't know what I was doing, or I had the gun held to my head, or blah, 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 blah. Postnuptials work. I've talked to a lot of men on coaching calls that have had success with postnuptials. Now, if you're married for 20 years and she's a stay-at-home mom and she's raised four kids and never went to work and has no marketable skills when you guys get divorced or she leaves because she's banging her personal trainer or whatever, there's nothing you can do about it. You're going to be on the hook to pay for her for the rest of your life, probably depending on where you live. So prenups need to get renewed on a regular basis, and she needs to go back to the workforce if you're going to have any use out of it. But again, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not giving you legal advice. Talk to a family lawyer in your state or province and figure it out for yourself. But don't listen to the bullshit stories that prenups are useless.
My take on that is from what I've learned from Divorce Corps, the documentary Divorce Corps. There's actually a whole segment dedicated to prenuptial agreements and how basically worthless they are and how you have to keep updating them all the time. I guess maybe that would be a postnup. And then I was curious, Rich, what did you think about what DDJ had to say about that? Because he was saying that postnup or prenuptial agreements were effectively useless because that woman could just simply say that she had signed that under duress.
And that's why you get the postnuptial, and that's why you continue to update it throughout the course of the marriage as well. But again, you're always going to run into pushback. Oh, well, if you love me, then why would you be asking me to do this, blah, blah, blah. It's like, look, I love you, but your response to that should be is, I also love my assets, and I work really hard for this shit, and I want to make sure that the state doesn't decide what happens to this. Yeah. So that's why we need to sign this agreement, because if it doesn't work out, this stuff stays with me.
And that requires a guy who has himself – as his mental point of origin,
and you have to be willing to walk away, because I've heard so many stories from guys that have just dropped it because she refused to sign the prenup, and he like a moron goes, well, okay then, let's just get married without one because nothing bad's gonna happen. 7 years later, you know, he's sitting out here like this in his mom's basement with no money because he lost all of his shit in the farm to her and family law.
Well, the two pieces of they y'all keep hitting everything. I can't say nothing on that. But the two pieces of advice I would say to 204, thanks, Rollo and Rich, y'all saying everything. No, the two pieces of advice that I like to tell the guy is this. Number one is that if you are living with her, please keep wearing rubbers. Do not have unprotected sex and get her pregnant before you marry her, because if it doesn't work out, you're fucked. Excuse my language. I forgot we're in a restaurant here. But the second thing that I want to say is, for all you guys, don't be scared of marriage, man. A lot of people try to scare y'all into that. The only reason I would say to get married is if you want to be arrogant and be an asshole like me that wants to create a legacy. Because a lot of you guys aren't thinking right now. Your name is going to end with you. If y'all don't want to push the narrative and have somebody live beyond your death. So I would just say, and those are the only two reasons I would say, the two pieces of advice. But what y'all guys got on that, man?
Yeah, honestly, like the only time you should get married, guys, is if you want to have kids. Kids need a mother and a father in the same household, preferably. That's the ideal way to do it. That's really the only reason to get married in today's world. Any other reason, I just don't get it. I mean, I had a guy call in earlier this week on my show on Monday who was like 28, and he was looking at marrying like a 39-year-old chick. And it's like, why are you getting married? I mean, you don't even want to have kids. I mean, it's not even on the table. It's dumb. It's not a good move for men to get married. And if you're going to do it with the purpose of raising a family, for God's sake.
100%.
Anybody else? I'll just throw this out real quick. There is that Rich has asked me on several occasions, like, how did you vet your wife? You know, you have a great marriage. Blah, blah, blah. And quite honestly, I didn't have to vet my wife as much as I had to vet myself, because I had to look at my relationship with my then girlfriend and say, is this someone that I can be faithful to? Because I know me, I've seen me do it before, and I didn't want to start a family based on the hope that I could stay faithful to somebody who might later turn into somebody else. And thankfully, the answer to that question was yes. But I had to vet myself. Like we just been talking about, you know, how you need to make yourself your own mental point of origin. If you go into a relationship and you still believe in egalitarianism, and you go into a relationship and you think you're going to play 50-50, or you think that, or maybe you just simply want to defer and you go, oh man, thank God I'm out of the game now, and I don't have to. Now I can relax. No, you cannot relax. I think that's where most marriages go to shit.
Exactly.
Guys seem to think that they can just like ease up on their direction, or they ease up on what it is that they want to do, or they think that, well, you know, I can't go 100% at my dreams and ambitions anymore, whatever they are, because I have a kid on the way, or I have a wife now, and now I can't do that. And it's like you're giving yourself permission to fuck up. You're giving yourself permission to say, well, you know, that's my reasoning. So therefore, if I do this, then I'm okay. And I tell guys this all the time, especially when we're talking about things like men and women's concept of love. Like men's concept of love is idealistic and women's is opportunistic. And so what happens is when two people get together and they fall in love, and guys seem to think that they can let up, like they because they want to believe that their wife is going to be there to, you know, that's going to have their back all the time, is going to, you know, is going to be there to comfort them and support them and everything else. And the fact of the matter is, it's the other way around. You know, it's like you who have been taught your entire life to support women and to put women on that womankind on the pedestal. It's you who's going to be making the majority of the sacrifices, because you have convinced yourself that you're supposed to do that. So vet yourself before you even start thinking about getting into a marriage, because that relationship right there with yourself and who comes first, and then who is going to come into your frame, that is going to set the stage for another person, another human being's life, which is going to be your children. So be careful of that. Vet yourself first.
Hey, Mike, let me jump back to Mike. Mike, you were the guy that asked the question about having sex with a wife that's pregnant, that kind of thing. I had when my son was growing inside my wife, an old horse doctor who is a family doctor that delivered him. He said, hey, I got a trick for you. He said, not a trick. My wife and I are in there in the office. He said, look, take two fingers, lube them up real good. And he said, start at about 9 o'clock and work your way in. Just kind of help expand her, so that when she'll be ready, when the baby's ready to come out, you're going to have help to loosen her up and all this kind of stuff. And so it was doctor's orders, right? And so the guy was smart. He's still my doctor. I love this guy. And so basically every time we started working with that, one thing led to another, and it all started. And it was all because of this old family doctor that had the whole thing figured out. All my buddies couldn't believe I was the only guy cutting off a slice, every night just about. And these guys were all just moaning about the fact they weren't getting laid. Their wife was, pregnant. So good stuff. Don't be scared. You're doing it for her.
Well, she can't get pregnant twice, right? So go in there, have some fun.
Dent the head. Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to say something real quick, because I listened to what Rolo was saying. I remember trying to vet my woman. I remember taking her to the movies, and the first thing she did was hand me her wallet and say, get what we need. And she's been doing that for 20 years now. And like, if I invited y'all to come to the strip, go to the strip club or something, she'll go to the bank and buy dollar bills. She will treat y'all like y'all are family. When y'all are in the room, she'll go in the room. She'll check on you to see if y'all want anything to drink or something to eat. So the thing is she's like Rolo was saying, is you got to be consistent in what you are, but you got to keep her in line at all times and let her know at any time that you can take your ring and you can take your name and you can go on to the next person. That's all I want to say on that.
Do we have anybody else on the line?
Let me see. Let me check the line right now. No one on the line. Lines are open.
I was going to say, when you're vetting and you're looking at the relationship, you know, there's a lot you're looking at. But one of the bigger things is the relationship with the dad. You know, I was talking to a guy before we hopped on here that I'm kind of helping out. And one of the things is, you know, his wife, girlfriend, whatever, hated her dad, you know, in a terrible relationship. And then he's having struggles with the girl. And I say to guys, you know, if you find a girl who tries to make her dad proud and try to make him happy, you just got to supplant that role. And you become that man in her life where she wants to make you happy. She wants to make you proud. You know, Steve, you're talking about your girl saying, you know, what do we need for us? Or let me take care of them. You know, she wants to serve. She wants to please. And for you to simply say, you know, hey, you know, I'm proud of you. I really appreciate you doing that. You know, that to them, they light up. They're like, oh, you're proud of me. You know, you're happy. You know, a lot of guys, they don't ever say, like, there are a lot of guys now, I can guarantee, can't remember the last time they told their wife they were proud of them for doing something in the house, you know, taking care of something, building something, doing something for the family. You know, you've got to recognize she's trying to serve. And if you keep saying, I don't know, or I don't care, to where do you want to go to eat, she's going to stop asking because you're going to put that feminine light out in her. You know, where do you want to go eat? I don't know. Well, okay, I guess I can't turn to you for leadership. You can't even pick a fucking meal. Never mind, you know, defend us if somebody's trying to rob the house. You know, these little things, they add up, and guys don't think about that. But everything matters. Everything you do, she's watching.
So is the other guy.
Yeah.
And so are the kids.
Text.
Trying to see if we had any questions in the Slack or the chat.
Slacky chat.
Slacky.
Guys, yeah, we have a call. It's anonymous. If you want me to bring him in, gentlemen.
Yeah, throw him
up. All right, here we go. Anonymous caller, you are on, sir. What's your question, sir?
Hey, guys, it's Jonathan from Modern Life Dating. I'm listening. I just wanted to ask you guys a quick question about the Bezos divorce and get the panel's opinion on something. I don't know if you guys noticed, but Mackenzie got married to Bezos, or they got engaged within 3 months of dating. And I personally see that as a massive beta tell red flag. As you guys are all married or formerly married men on the panel, like, I personally see it as a red flag. What do you guys see in regards like vetting to a girl and seeing that, like, you know, if they want to jump on your dick and get married with you too quick? I see that personally as a big, big, big red flag. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think anybody that gets married within 3 months is an idiot. You know, marriage isn't a smart idea to begin with, but doing it in 3 months is stupid as hell. And Bezos, I mean, was a blue-pilled beta back then too, like a major beta. If you look at the pictures of him in those days, he was just a total nerdy geek. I mean, you know, he's worked out and he's gone on TRT and he's gotten a little bit bigger and looks proper now, but he's still a beta, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, exact same thing. When you look at where he was probably happy a woman was talking to him. He was probably happy that he just had some attention. He's like, oh, if I put a ring on this, she's going to stay with me, and then this girl is going to be forever, and I finally got one.
Have you seen the pictures of her back when they were, like,
oh, yeah, short hair. She looks like a feminist, right?
Holy shit.
You mean him.
Well, what's interesting is, like, and here's something that – and maybe this is something we ought to talk about – is – so if you look at the pictures of him, like in the early days, like when they first met, and she's got her hair in that not even a pixie cut. I mean, she looks like a very tall 12-year-old boy, right?
Yeah. And, well, she's taller than him for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And then, I mean, he's kind of like, you know, like I said, Uncle Fester, right? And so
they both look a lot better now.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say is, like, now that he's gone on TRT, now that you can tell he's been lifting at least somewhat because he put on some kind of muscle mass and he looks like he's got, you know, he looks – like he's at least trying to be a badass, right? Which, of course, comes with the fact that he is like one of the richest, if not the richest man on planet Earth, right? And so what does his wife do in response to that? She grows her hair out long. She starts wearing sexy dresses. She dumps all that nerdy bullshit, that pixie cut crap, that feminist shit. And
she got her boobs done.
Yeah, and it's almost like in sympathetic, like – harmony. She like starts doing the, you know, wearing high heels and looking, trying to at least maximize the way that she looks. I mean, she's still kind of like, but I mean, that's who these people are, right? And even if you look at the chick that he is supposed to be his mistress, which also he said there's some rumor that he's like sending her nudes or something like that.
She
like,
looks like a washed up 50-year-old MILF porn star.
You know, she looks like. I have to say this is gonna be so bad. She looks like that Latina housekeeper that Arnold Schwarzenegger got.
The wall.
Arnold is done. He passed her off.
It looks like Arnold's leftovers. I'm dead.
Gentlemen, we have another call. Gentlemen, we have another call. If you want me to take it, sir.
Right. I was just gonna say, I think that if you look at like, and this is a good example too, because you know he didn't do this on purpose, right? But when he started getting himself a little bit more masculine and he started like alphaing up a little bit, what did she do? She responded in kind. I mean, they have a lot of money, so she could have just said, I got a lot of money, I don't have to do anything. You know, she wouldn't have had to do that, but she saw that change in him and she decided to change as well.
Well, we all know that whenever people move to divorce town, especially women, they always do some work on themselves. Like, she went from pixie cut, short-haired looking feminist to long, flowing, beautiful hair, got her boobs done. You look at her arms. I mean, she's 49 years old. She looks great for 49, right? In the picture that we saw the other day. So she's done.
She's 48. The mistress is 49.
Okay, so the older – okay, whatever. But, yeah, 40, but I mean, her body's in good shape for that age. Still, I mean
– yeah, she's not obese.
You know, is trading in an old model for another old model, though. Does make sense?
Got a call, guys.
We got a new one, man.
Okay, we got a call. We got two calls. 801 first, and we'll get you 605. 801, you're on, sir. What's your question, sir?
Hi, guys. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Hello? Okay, sorry. So I'm 48 years old. I'm divorced about 2 years. Recently come out of monk mode, I would say. I'm somewhat red pill aware. Haven't read everything, but have definitely gone kind of down the YouTube rabbit hole about all this. I'm raising three daughters. I have 50-50 custody. I recently lost about 40 pounds in the last 3-4 months. I do a mix of things. In terms of career, I don't really want to go into specifics.
801, what's your question, sir?
My question is maintaining frame with a semi-elusive female. I've just been dating recently, and I'm dating a professional violinist who has a pretty good career teaching, and she plays in the symphony. She's super, super smart and kind of guarded, has had her own divorce trauma. She's 40 years old. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. That's your question. Oh, let's get the point. All right, go ahead, guys. What's the question? Answer, guys.
He's already getting the one that is. He's already building her up to be this big thing. Yeah. She's a violinist. She's got a great career. She's already better than him. She's a huge, perfect dude. She's just a woman. She's a great woman. You want to maintain frame? Create your own reality. She's a girl. Talk to her. If she doesn't want to get with you, find another girl that does.
Yeah. You're leaning into what I call sniper mode. Okay, what that means is like there's only one girl, and you got to find a way to take your perfect shot. And then once you take your perfect shot, she's going to see what a great guy you are and wonder why she had never seen all of this in you before. And suddenly, you know, the clouds are going to part and light's going to shine down on you. I agree with these guys. You need to have other options going at the same time. And I'll tell you why, because if you have those other options, you communicate with her from a position of confidence, because you already know if she doesn't pan out, there's three other chicks on speed dial who will. Okay. So what that does is it sort of frees you up to be more experimental with her. So you can try shit that you wouldn't necessarily try if you didn't have those options sort of waiting in the wings. Like I said, you don't ask for a raise until you've got a good job already offered to you. So you can go and give your present boss some shit and say, hey, look, I need a raise kind of thing, right? You don't do that, because otherwise you're going to lose your job, right? So that's where confidence really comes from. Confidence comes from options. But I think you're specifically focusing on this one. And just like Hunter was saying, you've already sort of made her the magic hoo-hoo, okay? She's the she's the one that's going to, you know, she's better than all the rest, right? And it's all, she almost has this fairy tale like quality. Now, when you got divorced, the woman that you were with prior to this, did you do the same thing? Did you say, oh, this chick was, this is my quality woman?
Oh, wait a second. I gotta mute him. I'll unmute him because it messes right. Things. Go ahead. 801, he was asking you a question.
Okay. Yeah. No, I didn't do that with my ex. It was a fairly, we pushed back on each other a lot throughout basically 16 years of marriage. And this woman, I'm actually dating, I'm going on other dates right now. I've already encountered a BPD. I've got another girl that I go on fairly casual dates that's definitely more into me. What I'm talking about is someone that I'm attracted to, not just because she is more interesting than the rest, but I don't, I am aware of one-itis.
Happy children.
Okay.
Does she have any kids?
Okay, here you go.
She has two kids. I have three.
Oh.
So what are you going to do? You're going to build the Brady Bunch? You're going to put your five kids together? Like, what's the long-term plan here?
Oh, not necessarily. And she's actually very independent. At least her attitude doesn't seem to be of one of entitlement. But, see, I have my kids, but my ex and I are very, we're not possessive about our kids. I have three daughters. They tend to want to be around their mom more than me. I'm kind of a little more like clubhouse dad.
Here's the thing. She's already up on a pedestal. She's an incredible violinist. She's scarce. How do I get her attention? These are the sorts of things that, you know, that you're saying and doing. Get her attention by being a man in demand. Be a man of scarcity. Be a man chasing his own purpose and excellence. Carving out time when it's convenient for you. She's not going to chase you if you're chasing her, right?
Oh, you want to bring her back on?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Basically, women can smell from a mile away.
Oh,
and
yeah.
If you don't have a couple of things working, she's going to look at you like, okay, I'm the only one he's after. What does that say about me? And then just keep walking.
The medium is the message. If she said, if her behaviors are telling you that she doesn't see you as a high value, if she's not the hell yeah girl, find one that is the hell yeah girl. This one clearly is not. So.
Yeah, 865, I'm bringing you one thing, but I got to do this for you when you mentioned the single. I got to give you the horn of hell, man. Look, the thing is, I see a bunch of problems in you, number one. Number one, you have, like the guy said, y'all are taking all my shit. But they have already said everything. But what I'm just trying to tell you, trying to add on to the great ism that they're giving you, is that you're making it all about her. She does this. She saves the whale. She does this with Bigfoot. She does it. I want to know what she does for you. What is she doing for you? And the fact that you're not even saying anything that she's doing for you is the problem, number one. And real quick, number two is, listen, stop messing with these. Look, women who have two kids, she is going to be Betty Crocker, June Cleaver, and everything else under the sun to you until you sign your name, and then the horns are going to come out. Man, just smash, be nice to her, and find something younger and a better model. But anyway, I'm sorry, guys. We got another call.
Here's two things that you got to distinguish, you know, between single fathers and single mothers. Single fathers, well, men usually make more money than women. You know, they usually choose those types of careers and professions that allow them to create the wealth. So there's that component of it, unless she divorced, raped her husband, and she's got it. Now, and then the second part is, men don't go through childbirth. Women do. Let me just say that again. Men don't go through childbirth. Women do.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I'm sorry, guys. We got two more calls in area code 865, then 313 will bring you in. 865, what's your question, big guy?
Yes, gentlemen. Question. I'm ending a 20-year marriage right now, and halfway through our marriage, I found out that my wife decided to hyphenate her name when she went to renew her driver's license, and it was really a big bone of contention. And I just want to get your feelings on that battle.
That's a what the fuck. that is an exit strategy right there. Like, that is a hell no go zone.
Yeah. Did he say halfway through the marriage? So they've been married 20 years. So 10 years ago she did this.
Her driver's license. Yeah.
So for 10 years she's had a hyphenated name.
No, she just did it. She just hyphenated it when she renewed her driver's license.
Oh. Is he still on the air?
Yeah, he's still on. I'm opening up.
Steve, unmute yourself.
All right, there you go. I'm sorry, guys. Yeah, I got you. I'm sorry, guys. I just muted so y'all can stick and see y'all talking. Okay, 865, you're back on. They asked you a question, sir.
Yeah, I'm ending the 20-year marriage, but it's about halfway through when I found this out, when I looked at a driver's license and I saw that you've hyphenated your name. And that really, it really set me off.
So 10 years ago, she hyphenated her name?
Yes, yes.
Sorry. Wow.
Yes.
And well, so you didn't say anything?
10 years ago, then.
Dude, that name is ownership. She is in your clan. As soon as she changed that, she left your clan. She is now part-time with you, part-time with her, ready to go.
She is separating herself from you.
Let me just say, man, this
medium
is
in
the hallway.
Just jump in, man. This sucks. I mean, listen, I can hear it. I mean, you're going through a divorce right now. This fucking blows. Okay, I get it. I completely get it. Can't go back to what happened 10 years ago and hash it out now. You younger guys that are listening, take note. You know, this is real shit. This stuff really does happen and jerks with people's lives pretty hard. So, man, I feel you. I'm hang in there. I mean, this is not easy.
The good news is, though, my friend, is she's not your kid. She's going to be your ex-wife, so who cares what her last name is? She can make it Scooby-Doo-Bop if she wants. Just fucking let her go.
Yeah, but you know what? Let everybody else learn from that, too. The medium, again, the medium is the message. What is her behavior communicating to you? I'm separating myself from you by, like, reclaiming my own last name. Why? Because you ain't that guy anymore, or you never were that guy anymore. Or if she says, I think I'm going to keep my last name, or I'm going to hyphenate my last name, that the medium is the message, my friend, and that's what she's communicating to you. She does not want to – she has no admiration for you, and she has no desire to be a part of, like, your story or your frame. Next, eject. Hey, one more quick thing here. We got a super chat from Sad Boy for $4.99. I'm just going to read this real quick because this will go really, really fast. It says, what do women really want from life? Are they capable of any existential thought? I can't think of any great female philosophers. They all seem shallow. Okay, go and watch. I think it was two episodes ago on the Red Man Group where we talked about how it was just last week, I think. We talked about, do women have agency? Look up that episode. Watch that episode. That will answer your question.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
All right, guys, we got area code 313. And, guys, if y'all want to call in, the number is 515-605-9373. 313, you are on, sir. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Finally glad to get through. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Just wanted to say, had a few couple quick questions. 37, I'll make it short, 37, doing pretty good, make six figures, got a nice side online business also. Just spinning plates. Three of the plates that I'm spinning right now are kind of in the legal profession. One or two perhaps have potential for LTR. Would you consider a LTR or potentially more with a woman that's already a lawyer or a paralegal? What's your thoughts on that?
So I can hit this one. I was married to a lawyer. The answer is no. And I cannot expand on that for any reason whatsoever.
Wait, he says he's with an LTR or
he's with some legal professionals and he's asking if it's a good idea to wife up a lawyer. And the answer is a hell no.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, I just want to say this to him, and this is something that y'all guys always do that y'all got to stop doing this shit. Women don't care about your job, your office, your corner office, and all that other stuff unless that's what you want them to fall in love with. Stop using your job, your car, how much money you make, and what you do. It's about who you are. Stand on who you are. Everybody has a job. So don't stop coming on here, because if you're telling us, it sounds like you're going to the woman and saying, hey, how you doing? I'm going to use you for a second, Rich. Hey, how you doing? I'm Rich, and I've got a corner office, and I've got this, and I've got that. And then when she takes you for everything you got, then you want to get mad, salty at the women. Now, we got another call, 256. But, guys, what's y'all take on that real quick?
No, I agree. I can't tell you how many emails I've had where guys say, well, but I'm the breadwinner. Dude, it's not your paycheck that's going to command respect. It's not your paycheck that builds the frame in that relationship. She's not there because you're making money. You're either a man or you're not. Somebody's leading in that home, and it's not a paycheck. It's a man.
Here's some general observations about legal professionals. So I can broadly speak to this because this is true for almost all of them, and they would agree with this. Lawyers get paid to argue for a side. They get paid based on acrimony and conflict, and they're trained and designed to deal with that one side's interest and that one side's interest only. So consider that as one thing. The other thing is a lot of lawyers will say the pen is mightier than the sword. So they fight in the emotional and the intellectual and the legal, of course, as well, when it comes to conflict. They don't fight in the physical. They don't usually have the physical. It's usually, you know what the interesting thing about lawyers that I noticed with, and I know a lot of them, and I have some close friends that are lawyers too, so again, I'm broadly speaking, they work a fuck of a hell of a lot for an exchange of a block of time for a block of money, and they're always chasing both. So those are just some general observations. I'm not going to go any deeper than that, but the answer to me or from me would be no.
All right, we have another call, but hey, Rich, I'll give you a mom real quick.
Damn.
Okay, now area code 256, you're on. What's your question with the group?
Hey, I went through a divorce about 6 months ago, and my ex-wife, she'll periodically, once every couple of months, she'll just pop back up with, like, her attorney will call me and be like, hey, have you done this? You done this? You done this? You know, and then, like, here recently, she told a bank that she had a loan through to start calling me, you know, to collect money and shit. But my question is, why do they keep coming back like that? Like, why will they not just, you know, move the fuck on? She's, you know, living with another dude in another county and, you know, whatnot.
Did you leave her or did she leave you?
Oh, okay. Oh, no, I'll put him back in before the I'll put him back on. 256, sir.
She you know, she wanted a divorce, and I said, hey, you want a divorce? Whatever. Here it is. Fucking peace out.
Multiple revenue streams. You are a resource.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, it's like being tax cattle. She's got economic incentive to milk you like a cow. And there's some things within family law that allow her to do that. Do you guys have kids together still?
Okay, hold on. Let me open them back up for that question. Oh, shit.
You losing?
Yeah, I think I lost one. Let me see. Shit. Hold on one second. Give me one second, sir. I think my studio, the studio for, all right, here we go. I think I got them back. Give me one second. All right, 256, can you answer that question, please, sir?
Yeah. No, we didn't have kids. We tried to for a while, but That fertility medicine, like her mentality just kept getting crazier and crazier and crazier. And I finally put my foot down. I said, no, we're not doing this shit no more.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, the thing about family law is even if you don't have kids, if she can argue anything to her favor, she'll do it. I mean, that's why I routinely say on my channel, women don't have any incentive to behave well through the family legal system. They have every incentive to behave badly. It is what it is, dude. I mean, hopefully she finds a guy or she's found a guy. It sounds like she's with somebody that can provide and provision, and she doesn't need to lean on you anymore. But it sounds like she's still leaning on you because something's missing from that, you know, Mr. You know, Plan B or whoever the new guy is, right?
Yeah, but you know what, Rich, real quick? Listen to what he said. She keeps coming back. I can't blame her for keep coming back as a man if he's going to keep allowing her to come back. He needs to draw a line in the sand and tell her to keep moving.
There's certain things that you can't do with family law. And if it states that she can open up the books, like one of the things that can happen for example, is if he's doing well in life or he does better in the next 3 years or 5 years after the divorce, let's say, you know, he was driving a Chevy and he goes from driving a Chevy to a Mercedes Benz and she deems that he's making more money. She can open up the books and change whatever agreement was in place at the time of play, because his income goes up. And that usually happens more often than not because of kids or for child support or something to tie into that. So she's just leaning in them. Just, it is what it is.
It sounds like 256 is Alabama. I don't think there is no spousal support in Alabama. So dude, I unless you've got some kind of a legal reason, you got to talk to her. I think I'd block her number, block the lawyer's number.
Yeah, if there's no legal obligation, then block her number for sure. But if there's legal obligation, I mean, you know, she's going to keep coming at you, right?
Let me bring him back on 256.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Like, she blocked me on all social media for a while. And then, like, I got my business going where I bought, like, a brand new truck. And somehow she fucking seen that shit. And
guys, when you get divorced, do not indicate in any way, shape, or fashion that you're doing better after the divorce. Okay, you don't go and buy flashy new trucks and boats and fucking sports cars and shit like that, and then, you know, flash them out there, because she, like, you know, she's gonna come at you for something like that. And it's a grim reality. Like, you want to move on, you know, with that next segment in your life, but you've got to behave in an accordant fashion to make sure that she's not coming up your ass. Because, oh, look, he's got a brand new diesel dually. That thing looks like it costs about 80 grand. Ooh,
always
buy that in the boat.
48 laws of power. Always say less than necessary.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, guys, it looks like we got to wrap up, because we've run the show for about 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Hang on. We got callers in queue, but we're wrapping up. So, yeah, let's call it a wrap-up for the night, because we aim for 90 minutes on these shows. Apologize to the callers. We'll get the calling system working properly for the next show. But that was probably on me or my setting somewhere. But many thanks for the super chats, for the conversation. Great topic today, men. Just as a reminder, we're doing these every other Thursday. So you'll see the event scheduled in on the channel 2 Thursdays from now, same time, same place. Make sure you subscribe to the channel, because that's the first step. Number two, and the most important thing, is subscribing is not enough anymore. You have to hit the notification bell if you want to be notified of live events when they're created. We're not recording content on this channel. They're all live. So if you want to catch the start of the live event, make sure you're subscribed and you hit the notification bell. And then when it shows up in the social feed, hit set reminder. There's 3 things you got to do. Any closing comments from the panel tonight?
I'll just quickly say that, just to sort of answer the question that we were supposed to be talking about on this show, is it possible to maintain mental point of origin while you are a father and a husband? And I believe that the answer is probably a unanimous yes.
Absolutely.
It just depends on you and, you know, your vision and are you going to give yourself – a lot of guys, I think, don't give themselves permission to be men.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even want to call themselves men. They go, we have no more rites of passage anymore. I really, honest to God, I've suggested this before, I think that when guys unplug from the matrix, when they finally become red pill aware, there needs to be some kind of ritual. There needs to be some kind of marking, demarcation of you, like, cutting away yourself from that, you know, that blue pill understanding, and you become a man, really. And you're at the very least giving yourself permission to be a man. And I think that too many guys are too scared that their wives are going to hold out on them if they say no. Their wives are going to get upset or divorce them if they don't acquiesce to everything that they say. Like we were just saying a little while ago that women need to be told no. There are men probably who are going to listen to this, or maybe are listening to this right now, who can't even dream. That concept doesn't even enter their brains, because they think that if they do that, they're not going to get laid. They're not going to get pussy. They're not going to or maybe even worse, maybe she's going to get pissed off and she's going to take the kids, and maybe that'll be the last straw because he said no to some idea for a restaurant or some shit like that. These guys won't do that because they live by walking on eggshells all the time. And I'll tell you right now, it would be better for you to go through divorce. It would be better for you to say no and to actually assert yourself and to make yourself your own mental point of origin, that it would be for you not to live that way, for you to you know, live a life where you're not living your life. You're basically a cog in the machine. It's not enough for you to be the cog in the machine when you're in a corporate environment. Now you got to be that at home. Right? Is that really what you want to see? Do you want to grow old? Do you want to be like 70 years old and looking back on your life and going, I lived a pretty beta life. I didn't get to do the things that I like to do because X, Y, and Z. And I think that giving yourself permission to make yourself your own mental point of origin, I think that is the first step in doing that, and then maintaining that. And I don't think it's as difficult as a lot of guys want to make it. They're just afraid to do it. You know, we have the key. We have the key to our own jail cells. We just are scared shitless to use it.
Yeah, I agree 100%. All right, so let's wrap it up on that note. We've got a Redman group coming up on Saturday too, guys, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Sorry, Tex, you were about to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, it's made your wife and kids don't know it, but you owe it to yourself to maintain your own mental point of origin, and you owe it to them, because you can't be your best if you're not taking care of yourself. I mean, you owe it to them. If you're trying to lead them, they don't know they need it, but you need to do this. You've got to step up and make it happen.
Yeah.
Can I just say something?
Final words?
Yeah, just real quick. Guys out there, just remember this. At the end of the day, she's going after your name, and she's going after your ring. The question that you've got to ask yourself is, what is she bringing to the table? Is she willing to slay the Minotaur and bring it to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro for you? And if she doesn't want to do anything to set your narrative and your principles, she is wasting your time. So stop wasting your time on women who expect you to bend over backwards for them. It is about manhood. It is not about her. That's what I want to say about point of origin.
Real quick. Guys, if you watch these videos and you don't change after watching these videos, you're not doing it right. This is actionable advice. Apply it to your life and make your life better. Don't just sit there and watch friggin' YouTube.
Do it. Do the work. All right, guys. Have a good night. We'll see you guys in the next one. Peace out. Done.
All right.
Good show. Good. Sorry about the call-in. I don't know what the fuck happened.
I'll work it out.
Oh.